Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here this morning and chosen to worship with us. Excited to have you, and so just want to mention a few things to you this morning. First of all, let me say welcome to all of our guests. We're so glad that you are here. Thanks for worshiping with us today. We would love to connect with you. We can do that in one of two ways. You can either fill out the card in the pew back in front of you and get connected with you that way. At the end of service, we'll have an opportunity for us to give as we leave. You can leave that in the offering plate as you leave today, and that's a way for us to know who's with us today, how we might be able to serve you. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. Fill that information out, and that'll give us a chance again to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us. And again, thank you so much for being here with us today. Excited about today. Today is our Arkansas Tech Graduate Recognition Day, and so looking forward to recognizing several graduates who have worked really hard to get to this point, and they're looking forward to that. So at the end of our service, we'll have a special time where we will recognize them by name and share a little bit about the degree they have earned and their future plans just quickly and give them a gift. So we'll do that at the end of our service. As a part of that today, looking forward to Matthew Melton, one of our college graduates, and he is from the same home church as Dadrian and I, and so known him since he was a lot shorter than he is now. So looking forward to him leading us today and excited about that. Continue to pray for Al Ray as he is recovering from his back surgery. Things went well. He is continuing to progress, but I know he covets your prayers and appreciate you praying for him. And thank you for all those who have prayed for him, who have provided meals and different things for him. And so he's really grateful for that. And so just continue to pray for him. We will have a Vacation Bible School worker interest meeting tonight at 4 o'clock. Vacation Bible School is the first full week in June, and so, but tonight we're having a meeting at 4 p.m. Dadrian and Michelle will be leading that time, and so I hope that you'll make plans to come. There are a lot of opportunities to serve. There's a lot of different variety of ways in which you can serve, and so this is a neat ministry. It's a great opportunity for anybody and everybody in our church to be involved, and so I hope you'll make plans. Be back at 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, we will have a time of prayer, but also a special time. We have some friends of ours here with us today. You know Gary Chadwick well, and his new bride. You're going to get to meet Oksana, and so we're so glad they are here as our guests today. Gary will be able to give an update this evening during our time of prayer as to things happening and going on in Ukraine and the ministry that continues there. And so a lot of different things happening. Men, let me be a blessing to you. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. You're welcome, all right? So, or I just set you up for failure because you've got no excuse now. So, anyway, but next Sunday is Mother's Day, and then we will have no evening activities next week so that you can do a job. Good job cooking and cleaning up after you cook, all right? So, and all the women said amen right there. So, anyway, let me lead us in a time of prayer. And Pastor Jonathan is going to preach the word to us this morning. I'm excited about that. So be in prayer as we sing together. Be in prayer for him. And looking forward to a great day. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. Lord, we love and adore you. And God, we are grateful for your hand of mercy and grace upon us. I pray, God, that all that we say and do would glorify you. I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would manifest yourself in this place. God, I pray that you would be with Matt and Jonathan and Becca and Ashton and Miss Kathy, all these that are a part of leading us in worship this morning. God, that you would be glorified in our time together. I pray you be with Jonathan as he leads us through your word. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine? Shine. what our nation needs right now is the Lord to shed his light. And you know, that song is an incredible song, and it's a prayer of revival, is it not? Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. So may this morning, as we continue to sing and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may that fire burn within us as we sing, Build My Life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath. The name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Sing that again.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one. Thank you. darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Touching every heart, I worship you. I worship you. You are healing every heart. I worship you. I worship. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 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 You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
God in heaven, this morning, that is our proclamation that you are the way maker. You are the promise keeper. You're the miracle worker. You're the light in the darkness. And so much more. I pray for each and every individual here this morning, God, that they would experience your presence like they've never done before. God, even as we sing, set our hearts on fire because you are with us and you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be honored. You are worthy of our very lives. God, mend hearts. Heal hearts this morning. Challenge hearts this morning for your honor and your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, amen. Everybody okay this morning? All right. I always hear, and I probably say this just about every time when I come up here with a bottle of water, that may not be a good sign, right? Maybe in for a long sermon, huh, Miss Mary? Maybe. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm so thankful for the opportunity this morning to be able to be in front of you and speak about God's Word. I do want to thank Matthew for filling in this morning for Pastor Al Ray. Matthew helps lead on Wednesday nights, does a great job. I look forward to seeing what God does with him in the future. Thankfully, Matthew will be here for just a few more years with us and investing in our college group and helping as we seek to reach the college campus for the glory of Jesus Christ. There are lost souls, many lost souls, that set foot on that campus each and every day when school is in session. And we are tasked, I believe, in our DNA as Second Baptist Church. One of the reasons why we were planted here at this location was not only to reach this community, but to reach the campus for the sake of the gospel. And so thank you for your prayers. God is at work in our college group. So thankful for Tyler and Kelsey Cantrell, who have taken on teaching that college Sunday school class. They are an incredible couple. I don't have to tell you about them because many of you know just how solid and grounded in their faith. And it's wonderful to have a married couple like that leading on not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. I do want to share with you a message that God has laid upon my heart as I thought about speaking to our college graduates this morning, but not just singling them out, a word that it is for all of us. As we look at, I've entitled this Life's Lesson Plan. Life's lesson plan this morning, coming from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Many of you are probably familiar with maybe this passage or a couple of verses in this passage this morning. But I started thinking, and not that our college students want to hear another lesson this morning, right? Because y'all are in the midst of finals. Some of you have one final left, a couple of finals left. Some of you are finished. Some of you are about to have your final, right? Are you excited about that? Maybe a little bit. So I know I'm not going to have the regular lesson plan this morning for you, but I do want to share with you from God's Word, His plan for your life, because I believe He has a plan for each and every person. I don't know if you're like me, but there were times when I had classes, especially on Arkansas Tech campus, where I had professors, when they would come in, this is what I would think. I was like, boy, they just don't have a plan for this class. I had one math professor. I was a math major at Arkansas Tech University. And I had one math professor. I think his plan was merely to come in and work any of the problems on the previous day's homework assignment, any of those that maybe we had questions about, and however long that took, then he would fill the rest of the time maybe explaining the next topic, right? Or doing a few of the problems there. And I remember one day specifically, there was one concept that many of us in the class were really struggling grasping, right? And so just like, you know, most professors or even most textbooks, when you read them in math at least, they give you examples, but they give you examples of the easiest problems, right? They don't give you the example of number 50, that takes you like two sheets of paper in order to complete. So this was one of those times where we had an issue with one of those problems that were later in the homework assignment, you know. One of those that the answer wasn't in the back of the book. I don't know, sometimes, you know, your professors would give you just do the odd ones because you can confirm your answer in the back. Anybody like that? I like that. When they would assign me the even ones or whatever one, I would get so mad. And I was like, how do I know if I got it right? Anyway. Y'all tracking with me this morning, right? So we had this one professor, and he came in that day with his normal lesson plan, right? Which was not much of one, in my opinion. But we were going through some homework problems, and we came to one that was way on the end, and we were all just really struggling with it. And he started writing it out. He got two lines in, and then he just stepped back and went, And then he went over to his desk. He looked. I know you're not supposed to turn your back to people, but this is what he did. He looked, and he looked again at them. That's a tough one. I'm going to have to get back with you on that. And I was sitting there, Pastor Chris, I was like, you're the professor. How does that instill confidence in me and my ability to do the problem if you can't? And this is what he said. No lie. This is what he said. Let this be a lesson to you. That sometimes problems like this require a lot of thinking and a lot of time in order to solve. And I'm like, that doesn't help me at all. Not at all. Anyway, You probably had professors like that. You probably had teachers like that. I had one professor, he would come in and he would get mad. He would get mad that we couldn't figure out the problem, right? And he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, right? And he would sit there, it was my differential equations class. Not that y'all want to know that, but he would sit there and he would do the problem. He would be so mad and he would scribble. He was like, and it's almost like the whole time when he's talking, he's yelling at us, I can't believe you can't do this. You know, that's how he was writing. That's what his writing was communicating, right? And so he got through with it, and I'm sitting here just feverishly trying to write down the way to solve the problem. And then all of a sudden he gets done. He said, there it is. Look. And then he takes two erasers and he starts going like this. And I'm like, I say all that, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes individuals, professors in particular this morning, they don't have much of a lesson plan. They don't have much of a plan for that class. But let me tell you something. There is a God of the universe who is on his throne, and he has a plan. And it is not like any other plan that anybody has ever laid. No human has ever laid upon this earth. And guess what? This plan is a good plan. It's a great plan. And it will never fail this morning. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. Life's lesson plan. And if you want to just scribble life out, God's lesson plan for life maybe. But let's talk about this. I know that's enough of an intro. If you're willing and you're able, would you please stand with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning. The verses will be on your screen, but you can follow along in your copy of God's Word. Beginning in verse 14, Paul says this to Timothy, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your plan that will never fail. God, no matter what turmoil, no matter what conflict, no matter what disease no matter what Satan may try to throw at your plan, it will never be thwarted. So we say thank you, for that gives us great comfort. That gives us great peace, and that gives us great confidence, because when we stand on the truth of your word, we know that we are following your plan for our lives. I pray that as we examine your word this morning, that you would make your plan even clearer to us. Make it clearer to us as individuals. Make it clearer to us as a second family, so that we may go forth, Father, even as we sang early on in the service this morning, so that we may be able to shine your goodness to the world around us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I've already kind of given you the main idea that I believe that I'm kind of pulling from this passage. I know there's a lot of ideas that you could land upon within this, such a rich passage of Scripture. But specifically, I want to talk about God's plan for your life this morning. God's plan for your life. As college students, many times you have a plan, maybe even at the very beginning. I didn't have much of a plan as I began Arkansas Tech University. Or I say that, I did have a plan, but even before I stepped foot on campus, it changed about five times. I changed my major five times before I set foot on campus, and then finally I said, I'm going to be undecided, because that'll give me some time to figure things out. But guess what? I didn't get much figured out, because I just landed as a math major. Little did I know that God's plan for me all along was to, as my friends in high school would say, to follow in my dad's footsteps. They would always ask me, Jonathan, are you going to follow in your dad's footsteps? And here's what I would say. I haven't got my call yet. That's what I said. But deep down I was saying, no, I don't have a plan for that. I just haven't got my call yet. But guess what? I did have my call. I just wasn't listening very well. So I tell people this all the time, that when I decided on math, that God said, nice try. You got the M right. It's not math. It's ministry. So there you go. God does encourage us like that at times, and he did so mean. But I want you to understand something, that though your plans may change, maybe you even try to change your plans, God has a plan for you, that he has a plan for your good, right? And a plan that will honor and glorify him, because that is our end goal as a human being, as a created being, right? God has a plan for us to glorify him in everything that we say, in everything that we do. That does not change. Now, the way in which that happens sometimes in our lives, with our even our vocations, you do not have to be in a position like I am in, or Pastor Chris is in order to glorify God to your fullest. God may be calling you to a vocational ministry such as teaching, such as many of our graduates, you'll hear in just a moment, as in programming or engineering. And God says, I'm going to use you as a light in the midst of darkness in the vocation that you are currently in. And sometimes that changes over time, right? Sometimes God says, move over here. Sometimes God says, move over there. But his plan hasn't changed. And his plan, again, what is it? To glorify him. To glorify him. So the quick key question this morning, boy, y'all, I'm taking too much time, aren't I, Pastor Chris? The key question this morning is, are you listening to the professor? Are you listening to some of you already know how I love alliteration, right? You know how I love words that start with the same letter. And so God's plan, are you listening to the professor? So guess what? Your points, you will have a P word in there somewhere. I'm going to give you a heads up, so you can already write down a P if you're taking notes this morning, and you'll fill it in here in just a moment. So I'm trying to be a good professor this morning. No? Okay. Ryan's saying, okay, go. Keep going, right? All right. So let's look at this. I have five things that I want to share with you this morning about God's plan for your life. And just so you know, this first one is more or less a what you're going to do, right? And the next four are more or less how you're going to do it. But it also, in the midst of this, we have to take on this idea of remembering things. Because the things that we learn, not only in our classes, not only in life, we have to remember those things so that they might be a benefit to us in the future. Some of us are a little stubborn. We use that word sometimes. Hard-headed. And it takes some... Mary's laughing. So I tell this story often, but I'm going to tell it again. My mother knew that very well. And so in order to encourage our future capability of really latching on to what she's trying to teach, right? She had a board of education that she would apply to our seat of knowledge at times. So I don't have that this morning to help you along. I have the Word of God, so we'll go there. All right, first one this morning: remember to persist in what you were taught. Let's look at verse 14 once again. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned." Continue in what you have learned. There's this idea of persisting in that. Holding firm to that. Even the idea of staying the course. Many times, especially, I want to just mention our college graduates right now. The courses that you have taken over time have all culminated into this point where you have received a degree, right? And so at this point in time, all that you have learned is setting you on a trajectory, hopefully into a vocation of some sort. For me personally, I was a math degree, right? Or a math major. So you're probably wondering, how in the world did that knowledge help me in ministry? And I'll be honest with you, even in the midst of that, I struggled with the call to ministry and being at Arkansas Tech University and pursuing a math degree. But I'll tell you this, when I was struggling, God put an individual, a pastor here in Arkansas, who I was telling my struggles with being at Arkansas Tech University, pursuing a math degree, but knowing that God's calling me to vocational ministry. And this is what he said to me. He said, "You know, I was working on my master's in math when God called me to ministry, and you'll be surprised how your math training will help you in ministry." And from that moment on, guess what? I didn't doubt it. I just said, "God, you've got me at Arkansas Tech University. I'm going to pursue a math degree." And in that moment, in these moments that I have left here, I'm going to use that as much as I possibly can for your honor and your glory, because I know that my good will come from what I am learning. But many of you, that's what you want to do, right? You want to persist in that. You want to remember that, so that you can succeed in life. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the Word of God, we need to stand firm in it. We need to persist in it, because it is true and it stands the test of time. Scholars over the year have criticized and scrutinized the Word of God, but it has not changed it one bit. The truth stands firm. Listen to what the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you." So this is, I like this verse because it's that idea of setting your minds on the grace of God, that not only then, but set it on it now. For by grace you are saved through faith. For by grace you are living now. And for by grace you will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ when He comes back. Amen? Then look at what 1 John chapter 2 says in verse 24. What you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. So here's my challenge this morning in this first point as we persistently preach the gospel to yourself every day. Preach the gospel to, not like maybe I do it or our Pastor Chris does it, but remind yourself of the truth of the gospel, that it is by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what does that tell me? I didn't work for my salvation. I'm now going to work from my salvation. Does that make sense this morning? All right, are y'all awake? Am I coming at you too far hard this morning? I've got this dam, all right, of just that it, I'm about to open the floodgates. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? I hope you are. All right, so remember to persist. I'm going to try to go through these quickly because I know it's 5 points and you only have so much time that you can withstand sitting there and listening to me this morning. So remember the people who taught you. This is what Paul says here. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 1:5 says. I recall your sincere faith. This is Paul talking to Timothy, that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I'm convinced it is in you also. So what is this telling me? This is telling me that Timothy's grandmother and mother instilled within him the Word of God and the truth of it and the plan that God has for him. And he says, remember them. Remember what they taught you? Remember what they taught you? You know, I talked to you about the math professor that apparently that I did not feel I learned much from, especially on that one day. But there was one professor that I remember fondly. And I had taken his class because I needed, you know, just a filler class kind of, an elective class. And so I thought, I'll just take a philosophy class here at Arkansas Tech University. And it just so happened Dr. Bush was the professor. And some of you students, I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to be in one of his classes. He was a hoot. I remember it well because one day he was talking about reality, right? And how in our minds, you know, we may think something is there, but it's not really there, right? And so this is how he illustrated it. He said, you know, I can stand right over here and I can look over there and I can say, there is an elephant over there, just standing right there. And you would look at it and you would say, there's not an elephant over there. But in my mind, the reality in my mind is over there. And he said, but that doesn't mean that I can come over here, and this is what he did. It doesn't mean I could jump on this elephant and ride it. And that's exactly what he did. He did that motion, and I was like, I like this guy. And guess what? I remembered a lot of what he taught. And not only that, but because of that one class, I took all the classes I could in philosophy as a result under him. You may have had professors over here at Arkansas Tech University that were much like that, that you just really connected with, and you remember not just, you know, the textbook information that they taught you, but even some of that life that they taught you as a result. Let me tell you something. We have people in our lives that have taught us things from the Word of God. And I think what Paul is trying to communicate to us this morning as he writes to Timothy, remember those people. I remember Charity Chadwick and Nadine Reeves. Dad, do you remember these two ladies? They taught our kindergarten class, Sunday school class, at First Baptist Salem. And these ladies love the Lord. And I just remember, and they shaped me even at 5 years old. And some of you are thinking, oh, they needed to do a better job. Nonetheless, they did, right? I remember even, you know, I joked about the Board of Education, right? But I remember not just the Board of Education, although there was a pain that followed. I remember that pain. I remember what my mother was trying to get me to understand, that obedience is important to her. And as a result, in our relationship with God, obedience is important to Him. In fact, obedience is greater than sacrifice, the Bible says. I remember sitting under many sermons, under my dad, and a lot of the way I communicate the Word of God today is a result of sitting under countless sermons at First Baptist Salem, at Cabin Creek Baptist in Lamar, at Memorial Baptist in Hot Springs, at Centerville First Baptist. I mean, all the many places that I can remember. I remember things that Pastor Chris has said. Oh, wow. I was... Help me out here this morning. No, you get what I'm saying. I remember things because what they were instilling, this is what they were instilling within me. They were instilling life. They weren't just spouting out some information that they thought was good and sounded good. They were sounding the very Word of God, which is life to me. Listen to also what Hebrews, Pastor Chris has been working through Hebrews. Hebrews 12, I want to remind you of 1 and 2 again. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, because ultimately Jesus has taught us everything about life and love, right? So keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what are we saying? Pastor Chris said this very well, especially as he was walking through Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith. He said, remember these people. Remember what they did. And guess what? I hope you understand something here this morning. I'm getting excited. I hope you understand that too. But I hope you understand something this morning. We have an advantage over those in the Old Testament. And you know why? Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. They had the Holy Spirit guiding them, but we have Him inside of us. And shame on us for not listening to Him more. Whoo! That came out of nowhere. Remember those who taught you, because they weren't just spouting out something that sounded good. They weren't just filling up the time with words that mean nothing, some nonsensical mess. I want to get down here. I'm remembering Pastor Chris and what he does. So. Allow that truth that we've heard from the people of the past permeate our lives in such a way that when we walk out those doors, we surely will shine as lights in the darkness. That is what we are called to do. Amen? All right. That was number 3, right? No, that was only number 2. Where am I going? Okay. Number 3. Remember the primer from which you were taught. I've already kind of talked about this. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but you know what the primer is. You know the textbook. Have you ever had, by the way, have you ever had professors that you buy the textbook for, and then you get 2 weeks in and you're like, psh, I shouldn't have bought that one. That was me. I will say that in math classes, that wasn't so much the case, all right, because you had to use those. But I had professors that I was like, man, oh man, why did I spend $150, $200 on this only to turn it back in and get 50 bucks? Because we didn't use it. All right. Let me tell you something. God gave us this right here for a reason. This right here. And He confirmed this right here in His Son Jesus Christ. He didn't just say, hey, here's some good things that you might consider for your life, right? He says, let me read this. He says, and you know from the emphases you have known the sacred scriptures. These things are sacred, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This is life and death. You know, Michelle and I, we were cleaning out our garage, and we found some of those philosophy textbooks that I had. In fact, I saw one, medieval philosophy. She said, should we keep those? And I said, no. I was quick to do that. If she would say that about the Bible, I would have said, you better be kidding. She would never say that about the Bible. All right. You know Michelle, she wouldn't. That would be my response. Because it's life and death. It's not about these individuals of the past who had these ideas of what reality is like and so forth. This is what reality is like. Whew. I need to calm down just a little bit. I'm getting my steps in this morning. I think my watch has already gone off twice. Amen. Now listen to what Psalm chapter 119 says in verse 89 through 96. Lord, your word is forever. It is firmly fixed in heaven. Your faithfulness is for all generations. You establish the earth and it stands firm. Your judgments stand firm today. For all things are your servants. If your instruction had not been my delight, listen to this, I would have died in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for you have given me life through them. I am yours, save me, for I have studied your precepts. The wicked hope to destroy me, but I contemplate your decrees. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your command is without limit. Remember the primer from which you have been taught this morning. Listen to what 1 Peter 1:25 says. For all flesh, this is probably 24 and 25, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower fails or falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this word is the gospel that was proclaimed to you. Remember the primer that gave wisdom for salvation. And that leads us into the fourth thing. Remember the prophet. From what you were taught. The prophet. What does it benefit us to remember these things? Well, it's very clear here in verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. There are four things that are very specifically said here about the Word of God and how it profits our lives. Now, I will tell you this. there are some classes that these students have taken over time that they would say, man, that was no benefit for me whatsoever. Can I get a witness this morning? There were probably many of you who have had courses like that, maybe even with your vocation, your job. You have to sit through these trainings and you're like, what did that benefit me at all? And let me tell you something. No time in God's Word is unprofitable. So if no time in God's Word is unprofitable to me, then why do I not spend more time in it? Because the following is true. The more time I spend in it, the more profit I get from it. Does that make sense? See, I'm using my math training this morning. That's how you argue, right? logical arguments this morning. Listen to what Psalm 119, 105 says. Let me tell you actually first this story. This is a funny thing that I did. So one semester, I'd gotten all my classes figured out, or so I thought, and I got to that point, and I realized that I had made a mistake, and I needed a class at a different time. So the very first day of class, I went to the registrar's office, because you couldn't just do it online back. I mean, I don't know, I'm old. You had to actually go talk to a person at that time instead of just typing it up on the screen. Talked with them, got it rescheduled, right? So the next class time, I go in there. I had the textbook. I had my notebook. I got there even early. And I sat down on the front row, which is unusual for me, but I did it anyway that day. And I got everything out. I had my textbook, my notebook, and my pencil. And guess what? The professor was late that day, about 10 minutes late. And during that time period in which we were waiting for the professor, I got to looking around, you know, because I just wanted to see if I knew anybody in that particular class. And then I got to noticing something. And I started asking myself, did I buy the wrong textbook? So I waited, and the professor came in, and guess what? It wasn't the professor I was supposed to be taking. So I slowly grabbed that textbook that I had bought, and I put it back into my backpack. And since I was on the front row, and I was all the way over, I could not discreetly walk out of the class. So I sat there, and I took notes of a class and from a professor that was not going to benefit me whatsoever. But because I was so embarrassed by my guffaw, right, that I stayed there nonetheless and endured the entire class. You know what I did after that class? I ripped that piece of paper out, I wadded it up, and I threw it in the trash can. I say that. You don't ever have to do that with the Word of God. Right? Listen to what he says. First of all, it tells you what is right. It tells you what is right. It gives us an accurate view of how we should live. Listen to what Psalm 119:105 says. Your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Listen to what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and morning star rises in your hearts. It tells us what is right. It illuminates the darkness. Because let me tell you something. Before I met Jesus Christ, I was walking in darkness. I had no clue. But when the gospel was proclaimed to me over time, honestly, because I grew up in a pastor's home, and I knew the truth of the gospel more. I was privy to it. I realize what a great privilege that was to me, to have the gospel proclaimed to me over in Sunday school classes, and slowly over time, the truth of the Word of God, it showed me what is right. It showed me that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus. It illuminated the darkness. But not only does it tell us what is right, it tells us how we don't get it right. Listen to Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. We are not good, are we? There is only one good, and that's God. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23 says, and fall short of the glory of God. We get it wrong. We don't get it right. So this is what Paul's saying. It shows us what is right. It shows us that we don't get it right. But it also tells us how we can get back in the right. Because that's what he says. Look what he says. Teaching, rebuking, and correcting, right? It brings us back around. This is why God is so good. Because he doesn't leave us in that state that we're in this sinful state, in the darkness. He wants to illuminate our lives with the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the psalmist said in chapter 51. This is David after his sin with Bathsheba. He says, "Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion, completely wash away my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence, and you are blameless when you judge." If you ever want to know how to get back to God, if you ever want to know what it looks like to confess and to repent, read Psalm 51 and mean it with all your heart. And guess what? God is going to come back in and he's going to get you back in the right. He's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen to what 1 John 1:8-9 says. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, there it is. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God that what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? Y'all want to sing it this morning? I don't have time. You thought I was going to do it, didn't you? Y'all get me worked up. Where am I? Tells us what is right. Tells us how we don't get it right. Tells us how to get back in the right. And then lastly, it tells us how to stay in the right. Listen to what Psalm 119 says again. The Psalms are filled with godly wisdom, by the way. I want to encourage you. This is something we encourage our college students in the middle of the semester this year, is to start praying Scripture and praying through the Psalms. Take out a Psalm one morning and start praying through it. You know, I just saw Oksana, and I gotta watch myself because I get angry. But God knows my heart. But when this senseless war began, I'll be honest with you, I did not know how to pray. I ran to the Psalms. And I'll be honest with you, I have prayed for a situation like I've never prayed before. As a result. All right, that was free. But listen to what the psalmist says in 119 again. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I've sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees, so much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will never forget your word. That's how you stay in the right. I like to use this term, marinate, if you understand what I'm saying, marinate in the word of God. Have you ever marinated a good steak, or you know that the flavors that you intend for it to just permeate that meat, and then when it's marinated long enough, and then you cook it just right? Am I getting you hungry? That's a bad thing to talk about right here at lunchtime, right? But you understand what I'm talking about, and you cook it, and then you know, take that first bite. Oh, and it's all that you'd hoped it would be. Oh, my goodness. That'll preach right there. Because when you marinate in the Word of God, it will be everything you had hoped it would be. Because it is life. The joy Whew, the peace, the comfort that comes from the words written on these pages, not by the hands of men per se, although they were involved. It was God breathed. It was as if God was he became a part of that individual and used their hands in order to pen the very words of God. Please marinate in the Word of God and you'll stay in the right. Lastly this morning, remember the product of being taught. What's the goal? What's the end goal? This is what Paul says here. And at the end of chapter 3, he says, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You remember how I said earlier that God has a plan for your life? Guess what? This is what He's talking about here. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Hebrews chapter 13, Pastor Chris is going to get to this one here soon. Now may the God of peace, who brought you from the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, listen to this, equip you with everything good to do His will, working in us what is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God is fully prepared to infuse in your life the ability to do what He's calling you to do. Just as each one has received a gift, 1 Peter 4:10 says, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Now listen to this. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He has given us everything required for life and godliness. He has gifted us so that we may glorify Him and serve others. Our gifting, the way the Holy Spirit gifts us, is the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit helps us realize what God has planned for us to do and empower us to actually do it. So I go back to my question this morning that I asked earlier as I began. Are you listening to the professor? Like the capital P professor? Because He's so much more than any other teacher you've ever had in your life. He is so much more than any other professor. He is so much more than any other mentor you might have had. He's so much more than any other pastor or even combination of pastors. Listen to the professor this morning and allow Him to truly change your life and unfold before your eyes the very plan He has for you. And not only the plan He has for you, but the plan He has for you to accomplish it through His Holy Spirit. Where are you at this morning? Are you listening to Him? Maybe some of you this morning, as you've been listening, maybe here or even online, you may be at the very beginning and say, I've never listened to the professor until this morning. And I'm hearing Him loud and clear. I hear that He loves me. I hear that He died for me. That He gave His one and only Son for me. That's the gospel. That He died for my sins because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I understand that it is a gift of God. And I want that gift. I understand that if I confess my sins and I repent of my sins, that He will forgive me, because that is the promise of the Word of God, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe you're here this morning and that's you for the very first time. You're hearing the professor. You're hearing God very clearly. Let me encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit to take you from conviction to belief. Because God, that's what He desires for you. He has a plan for you. And it is so much better plan than you have for yourself. So please, would you submit to the Word of God? Would you confess your sins? And would you allow Him to become Lord? You will never regret it. Maybe here this morning, and you've been listening to other professors. Little P professors. Professors of this world. Whoever they might be. And maybe God is talking to you. And He says, come back. Come back. You know, as the prodigal son returned home. Do you see this picture? It's, listen to what the word is. And when he was a long way off, when he was a long... Can I fill you in on something? God runs when you turn. That's what it says. The father ran to his son. So what does that tell me? It's not too far for you. It's not too far for him to run. Would you turn? Would you say once again, I want to listen to you because in you I find life. In you I find joy. No matter what your circumstance may be here this morning, no matter what you may be experiencing, tune out those other voices and hear the Savior calling you home. God in heaven, you are good. And there's none like you. There's no professor like you. I pray this morning for those who may be hearing your voice for the very first time. God, would they truly move from conviction to belief? Would they move to confess and repent and then to commit their lives to you? God, may your Holy Spirit draw them and may they not resist any longer. God, I pray for those of us who may be listening to other professors. God, I pray that you would help them to tune out those voices and only hear yours, calling them home, leading them into what you have planned for them. I ask you to continue to be in a spirit of prayer at this moment. I'm going to invite Pastor Chris to come. We'll be here at the altar. I want to encourage you just to spend this time to reflect and ask yourself, who am I listening to? Am I listening to God? Won't you listen to Him this morning and respond? Pastor Chris and I are here. We'd love to talk with you. We would love to pray with you. The altar is open. You don't have to come to the altar. You can pray right where you're at. But would you respond to the great professor who is calling to you today?
Amen. Well, thank you, my brother. I would like to invite our graduates forward this morning and just come and stand here up front for a moment. We're going to give you a little information about them. Seth, Ashton, MK, Kaylin, Ryan, Peyton, Nathan, and Madison. I'm going to try to give you some information about each one, give you their degree and future plans as best they know right now. So we're going to hand them each one a gift, has a Bible, a book, and just a card there. So Seth Williams, Bachelor of Science in Physics with a minor in Mathematics. Plan is to go to graduate school at U of A Fayetteville for PhD in physics, and he has already accepted a fellowship there, and so really excited about what the Lord is doing through Seth. Ashton Whitlock, Bachelor of Science in Computer Engineering with minor in Mathematics. He plans to pursue a career in PLC programming at Vire Control Systems. MK Whitlock, Bachelor of Science in Business Administration and Management and an Associate of Science in Business Administration, and her plans is to be a dog mom. At least that's what I have here, so she fired up. So excited about what the Lord's doing in Ashton and MK, so be praying for them and grateful for them. Kaylin Parker, Bachelor of Science in Biomedical Electrical Engineering with minor in Mathematics. Plans to continue working as a clinical specialist with the medical device company Medtronic, and that is implanting and programming pacemakers. Amen. Bless the Lord right there. So be praying for Kaylin, grateful for her. Ryan, Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering with minor in Mathematics. Plan to work at Benchmark Group and architecture firm in Rogers, Arkansas, while pursuing my FE and PE licensing. Amen. I need a degree to interpret that, so that's exciting. All right. Peyton Hughes, Bachelor of Science in Psychology and plans Aviation Army Officer. So future plans. Nathan, Bachelor of Science in Computer Science, continues plan to work as an associate programmer at Gainwell Technologies. And then Madison Grantham, Bachelor of Science in Nursing, and plans to move to Little Rock this summer after marrying her fiancé, Eli. Eli, say amen. Where you at? There you go. Yeah, I'm trying to help, brother. working in the ICU at North Little Rock Baptist. So exciting. Hey, let's give a round of applause for all these graduates. Okay, you can all run away for the moment. Hey, right after, come up so we can take a picture, but we'll let you.